Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Asare. Reverend Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister. He has been ministering for over 20 years and has traveled extensively. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now here is Reverend Collins.
Father, tonight we pray that, Lord, you do something new in our lives. Speak to our hearts, oh God. Bless our time of fellowship together. Let not a single one of us leave the same as we came. Teach us, minister, and impart knowledge into our lives. And thank you for the demonstration of your power tonight in our midst. In Jesus' name, and somebody say, amen. Why don't you shake one or two people? Tell them, get ready for the Word of God. And you may be seated after that. Hallelujah. Man, it's good to be here tonight, isn't it? Church is the best place to be. Amen. I'm preaching about the five roles of a church member. Five roles of a church member. Have you been following it? Did you know that the messages are available on the net, on the internet? Are you aware of that? If you have, you must get podcast so that, you know, when you're a Christian, you must follow, you must listen to preaching a lot. You can't be a good Christian without listening to preaching a lot. So if you want to do well as a Christian, you must have preaching around you all the time. So you must have something that plays preaching. And when you are sleeping, Marissa, it should be playing. You must keep the preaching on all night. Yeah. Demons don't come close to you when you... When some of you, the dreams you dream, if only you were playing preaching. The demons say, no, not this house. You say, no, not this person. Do you get it? It's not just gospel music. Gospel music, the Bible said that faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by gospel music? Hearing by what? The Word of God. So preaching has a very great and a major role in your life. So you must want, you must laugh, and you must be interested in listening to preaching. Podcast is available, Doug Ewart Mills, or the other pastor, Collins, also has something small there. You can also tap into that. I believe you'll be a blessing. Five roles. What's rule number one? To be a faithful, your role as a church member. We're saying that as we have become Christians, we cannot be idle. You cannot just come to church. You see, those who come to church and go and come and go are those who actually fall off. Bebe, are you here? Are you sure? Those who come to church and don't have anything to do in the church are people who fall off quite easily and fast. Should I say it again? I said, those who come to church and don't have any role to play are those who fall off quite easily. Look around and see. People who come around and they are not solid. People who come around and they are not stable in something. It's very, very easy. You see, when you have something doing, that somehow motivates you. That somehow encourages you. It's because when you are absent, by all means, we'll find out, why didn't you come? We didn't see you. What happened? But sometimes when you don't have anything doing, when you don't come, we don't even miss you. You must be in the church to the extent that when you are not around, we will miss you. Lennox, are you there? Yeah, we must. I didn't see this guy. I didn't see that lady. I didn't see you. It must be like that. Amen. It's your role. So you must be a faithful attendee. It means that your attendance alone, if a church member, You must count your attendance during the year. If you like, take this challenge from me. You should mark yourself. How many meetings have you been to this year? Yeah, anytime you come to church, mark yourself present. And then at the end of the month, check how many times you've been absent and money, how many times you've been present. And if you like, compare it to anything in the world. If you are absent, what happens? And if you are present, what happens? If you are more present, what happens? And if you are more absent, what happens? You think like that and see. Are you with me? And if we become a bit more analytical as Christians, I believe we'll do well. Amen. The Bible says that it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So you must be a faithful attendee. That's a very important point and a level to be at. The second rule is what? You must be a stable Christian. A stable Christian is a Christian who, if there is pressure or there's turbulence or there's tender enlightening, he's not removed or she's not removed. When I say stable, it's not like you are stable until there's a problem. No, that's not the type of stability we are talking about. We are talking about stability like the Stabroek Market clock. It is there. You can go to America and come back. Yeah, it's been there. It's not tired. Rains have come. Winds have come. Earthquakes have come. Tremors have come. It is still there. So you must decide to be a stable church member. You see, when you are stable, if you are the type that goes in and out, hey, let me talk about stability more than those who go out. No, when you are stable in a church, it helps your life in general. Yeah. That is why if you're a brother, you're looking for a wife, don't look for a beautiful wife. Don't look for a beautiful girl. Look for the girl who is stable. Because the fact that somebody can commit themselves to coming to church all the time means they have a good character. They may probably not even know how to cook, but it doesn't matter. If you don't cook, I can cook. If you don't cook, we all cook. We will do something. But I need somebody to be with me for the rest of my life. And when I see you coming to church all the time, you are the candidate. Rather than the one with a red lipstick and yellow eyeshadow and eye, whatever they have. A good sound engineer doesn't let feedback come. A good sound engineer. Yeah. Your stability makes you attractive. People don't understand that. It's your stability that makes you attractive, not your beauty. That's your beauty. What is beauty? It's in the eyes of the beholder. Yeah. What you find beautiful, I may not find beautiful. Yeah. That's what beauty is in the shop. Do you get it? But when it comes to stability, it's not in the eyes of the beholder. It is reality. It's somebody who is around. He's around Sundays. He's around Tuesdays. He's around Thursdays. Camp, he's there. This communion service is there. Editing, this, that, every particular thing is there. A stable Christian is a very, very precious part of the church. I see you becoming even more stable than you are before. The Bible says that if you are planted in the house of the Lord, you will flourish in the cause of our God. Sometimes your prosperity is because, you see, your stability is what determines your prosperity. Because if we are really like trees, like the Bible says, then your stability is what makes you prosper and do well. The Bible says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Not a tree excursion or temporarily by the rivers of water. Not like a tree that goes above. A tree that is planted by the rivers of water in Psalm 1. The Bible says it is that tree that brings forth its fruit in its season. If you are going to be fruitful, if you are going to even enjoy the life that you are living, it is because you are stable. I said it's because you are stable. So watch out those who are not stable. Watch out. Amen. Number three. What's rule number three? Sorry? Maybe you should have been typing this for us so we'll know what's happening. 1, 2, 3 and all of that. Eh? What's rule number three? To support the church financially by giving tithes and offerings. If you don't pay tithe, you are not supporting the church. And you don't have because you don't give. It is those who give who have. If you don't give, you will never get. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Are you paying attention? Are you here? Don't be distracted, though. A good measure pressed down, shaking together, and running over shall what? Shall men give unto your bosom. So you don't have. If you don't have, it's not because God has forgotten you. If you don't have, it means you do not give. That is why you do not have. Are you with me? Role number four. And as we are talking about these roles, I'm not just singing a song. I'm just not saying things that I want to say or I would like to say. I'm saying things that we must do. I'm saying things that we must become. We must become faithful attendees. We must become stable Christians. We must decide to contribute financially to the church. It's not something that you are just writing down and then, you know, you also have written some Tuesday evening. It's what? 16th August or what? 16th August 2016, 7 o'clock, Tuesday service. Preacher, Reverend Victor Collins Asabre, Rose of a Christian. No, that's I'm talking about something that must stay in your heart and that you must become. You must become these things we are talking about. Otherwise, the blessings in the house, you will not easily get those blessings. Are you with me? So, role number what? Number four is to make your talents and gifts available to the church. To make your talents and gifts available to the church. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. Give me the New Living Translation of the Bible. Make your gifts and your talents available to the church. Make your gifts and your talents available to the church. Jonathan Romeo, are you listening? Make your gifts and your talents available to the church. Make your gifts and your talents available to the church. Make your gifts and your talents available to the church. The Bible says that God has given gifts. Who gives gifts? Who is the one who gives gifts? Who is the one who gives gifts? It's God. If you have a gift, if you have a talent, it's because God gave it to you. Many people, including Christians, do not understand why they have certain gifts and certain talents. Sometimes we think that when we have a gift or talent, it is because, I mean, it is for us to feel good and feel big and to show off. But there's a reason why God gives us gifts and talents. He said, God has given gifts to each of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. He says, manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. The PVC pipe. Where was I talking about PVC pipe? Was it here? Last week? It's the same PVC pipe you are talking about. So that God's generosity can flow through you. One thing you must understand, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, is that God is a generous God. But God's generosity is within men. Yeah. God's generosity is not with God. God has given his gifts, his talents, and blessings for you among us. What is happening is whether we will allow the generosity to go through us or not. And that is the problem. You see, there are sometimes that, well, if you're going to get money, it's because, or if you're not going to get money, it's because somebody has refused to give you money. Should I say it again? God is generous. That's what the Bible says. So that God's generosity. So God is generous. He's a generous God. So it's not that if we need something, God has not given it to us. He gives it to us. But the person through whom, or the person that God has assigned to give you that particular thing, he is the one who has decided not to give. Yeah, so that God's generosity can flow through you. So God is generous. He has given us gifts and talents. And he wants you to manage your gifts and your talents well. And that your gift and talent must be shown, must be given, must be handed to, and the church must benefit from it, so that the church and people around will know how generous, how gracious God is. You see, each one of us have talents. There's nobody here without a talent. The problem has been, we have not come to the point where we know that the talent must benefit the church. I'm sure I can. Half of you, if I were to ask you right now, what you know to do best, I'm sure you'll be able to tell me something. Or is that not so? Yeah. People have talents given by God, including money. Oh yeah, including money. You see, when you have money, it's not for you, you know. The money is to show God's generosity through you. Yeah, when you are really, really blessed, you give to others. Those who are not blessed are the ones who keep it. And when you keep it, you don't get more. Because you are becoming a blockage in the distribution line. In the pipe. So we got to bring this thing that, you know, when sinks block, you push it, you do, so that if we can't flush the thing through you, we cut you and we replace you with another PVC pipe. Maybe non-pressured. You are too pressured. We have to bring in a non-pressured pipe. Because you are not allowing the blessings of God to flow through you. What I'm doing here is I'm allowing God's generosity to flow through me to you. As God speaks to me, I convey it to you. As the Lord directs me, I direct you. Yeah. You can see it in a different way, that I like to be on your case. I like to do that. But you can also see it in a good way. Yeah, that God's generosity is being shown to you to warn you, to keep you from evil and to keep you from danger and to help you to be a blessing and to be blessed in the church and be stable. It's his generosity that somebody will teach you, God will teach you how and why you must be stable. So God gives us gifts and talent. Some of you know how to decorate things. You know how to decorate places. Don't wait for somebody to choose you. Most of that's what we do. We are just in our corners looking for somebody to come and call us before. But when we come to your house, most of the things in your house, your living room, you did them. All you have to do is, but Pastor, what can I do? At least I can do some little painting. I can paint. I like painting. So when we are painting, can you please tell me so we paint? I can do this. I can do this. I can do that. I can do. There's so many things you can do to help the church. But you must understand that your gifts and your talents are given to you so that you can help the church. Let's go to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. Make your talents and your gifts available to the church. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, is it not interesting that God does not give one person everything? Prince. Zamasha, isn't it interesting? Because God could have decided to just give the pastor everything. But he doesn't do that. He gives the pastor something. He gives a church member something. Alvin? He gives another church member something. He gives another church member something. So that collectively, all of us together can make our talents and our usefulness available so the church can be stronger. God never made it in a way that only one person can do a lot of things. It's not like that. He has given everybody something, a role to play, something that you are passionate about, something that you do very easily. It's God who gave you that gift, that talent, that special grace you have. It is God who gives it. And if God gives it, he wants you to use it to make his name be glorified, for his church to benefit from that talent and from that gift. Look at how God gives people voices and they go and sing for money. They do CDs. They do albums. And they even go into the world and they sing for dance hall people. They sing for reggae people, moving around doing foolishness and stupidness. Who gave you the voice? Who gave you the voice? Yeah. Many of you can sing, but you don't want to sing. Yeah. You can sing. At least when you are bathing, we hear you singing. And it's not bad at all when you sing. We hear you. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. All manner of workmanship. He goes on to say what? To devise cunning works. To work in gold. I mean that if you give him gold, he can do something out of it. Basman, he can work something with gold. He can also work in silver and in brass. And in the cutting of stones. Do you know how to cut stones? Bezaleel was given the grace to cut stones. And he says, and to set them, and in carving of timber. Carving of timber. You know what I mean? Carving of timber. He can make things out of timber. And to work in all manner of workmanship. What does it say in verse 6? It says, and I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. So look, God calls Moses, and then he says, I want you to build a tabernacle for me. I want you to build me something. But God does not give Moses the skill to devise, to do things with gold and to do with silver. He says, no, no, no. You are the visionary. I give you the ideas. You must go and announce. And there are people in the congregation who will come forth who knows how to do these things. Those are the ones, Aholiab and Bezaleel. They have gifts and talents from me. And I have commanded. They will do. He said that they may make all that I have commanded thee. God tells Moses to do it, but somebody else is going to make it. Because the gifts and the talents that God gives us is for the benefit of his church. You see, when we come to the time when we're doing barbecue, these fundraisers, and we give tickets, you can see how some people are very, very good in selling tickets. Yeah. Some people, if you give them 5 tickets, they can't sell even one. You can give some people 500 tickets. They will sell and sell extra. It's something. It means something. It means that these people, they have something to offer the church. Are you with me? Yeah. And these are the same people. If you're able to sell tickets, it means you can sell Jesus a lot. It means that if you were to master or specialize in selling Jesus, a lot of people will follow you. I say a lot of people will follow you. People have gifts. There are people who have the gift of talking. Generally, women have the gift of talking. Yeah, every woman has that special grace. Yeah. But you must use it. You must use it for the benefit of the kingdom of God. Some of you look attractive. Wherever you go, people like you. People choose you. Do you know what it is for? It's not to take men's money and cheat them and scam them. It's true. And then some of you can be whichever group you can be inside. You seem to have the upper hand or have the control. Whatever you say, people follow you easily. People follow you easily. People follow you. Oh, let's go here. You get 3 people to follow you. But you don't bring 3 people to church. It's true. You can say, let's go to the creek. You can get 10 people to take to the creek right now. Yeah. You can 3 busloads to go to the creek. Some of you not like that. But when it comes to church, it's like you become a frozen animal. Nobody even knows that you go to church. Yeah. The ability to organize and mobilize people to follow you, it was given to you by God. You see, by the grace of God, when we have anything around here, like if there's a light problem or anything technical, we don't have a problem. We have one of our pastors who is very skilled. He's a Bezalel. And we have Aholiab. Yeah. There's nothing if you give to him, he doesn't have an idea about. Yeah. And the things that he has done for us in this church, if we calculate the amount of money we would have paid, but many, many church members even benefit from it. TV, phones, iron, microwave, blender, all kinds of things. Tablets. Radio, washing machine, all kinds of things, laptops. Yeah, even our keyboard, he can open the keyboard, clean it, and put it back. Yeah, it's a skill. You, if we give it to you, you'll spoil it. No, you have to look at yourself today and realize that you have been given talent. You have been given a gift, and you must use it for the benefit of the church. You must use it for the benefit of the church. Hallelujah. What are some of the talents that people have that they can use in the church? Singing is common. Let's what? Dancing. People stand as statues in the church. It's true. Is it the reason why people don't dance in the church is that they get confused how they should move? Because the whining has been too much in your life. So the only part of your body you know to move is your waist. So when you come to church and we are playing songs, then you get confused. You get basidi. That you are not sure. Because you know that you can't whine in the church. So you freeze. No, you don't have to freeze. You see, it's very easy to dance in the church. You just move left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. Your waist can be still and you can still be active. Yeah, it's possible. Yeah. No, you don't have to bend down, whine and bend. No. You don't have to do all of that. But you know, you can jump. You can do all sorts of things. But you know, that's why people don't dance in church. You let us start music right now. You see how many people will just as if they don't know what music is. Yeah. You see, and there are some of you, if you were to dance, somebody will look at how you dance and they'll be very encouraged. But you see that people don't dance, so people also don't feel like dancing. It's true. The Bible says that King David, one day when he was bringing the Ark of God from the enemy's camp back to Jerusalem, he was so excited that when the ark was, he was dancing, he danced with all his might until, you know, his kingly robes kind of almost fell off his body. His diplomatic wife was standing on the balcony watching when he was marching in with the Ark of God, and she was very ashamed that the king was so behaving like a child, dancing and rolling on the floor and all of that. So when David went home, the woman said, "I'm ashamed of you. Look at you, a whole king, dancing in front of all your people and then disgracing yourself like that." Then David said that, "You speak like a foolish woman." That's what David told her. He said, "You speak like one of the foolish women, isn't it?" He said, "Saul's daughter looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place. And the midst of the, and David, okay, 18. If you're giving it to me, you should give me the right ones. When he went home, 20. What does 20 say? And David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "Oh, how glorious was the king of Israel today." Yeah. "Who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids. All the servants of the house, they've seen how your thigh, your legs look like as a king. Oh, what a shame. As one of the vain fellows." And David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play." I will play. I will play. Not dance, oh, I will play. Do you know what it means to play before the Lord? Can you play before the Lord? A diplomatic. You stay like that. You get arthritis very soon. Yeah. Yeah, you get stiff. He said, "I will play." When children are playing? Yeah, there's no formula. There's no rhythm. There's no boundaries. There's no shame. There's no guilt. You don't pay attention to anybody. You just flow in the presence of the Lord. He said, "I'll play before the Lord." What did he say in 22? Where did he say you are a foolish woman? Where is that one? I like that part. He said, "You speak like one of the foolish women. Because you are asking me, you are telling me not to dance before the Lord." So some of us have talents in dancing. If you were to dance right now, you will encourage people. Oh, it's true. People come to church and when they see people dancing and jumping around, say, "Hey, that brother, I like him. I like the way he moves around." It's a gift and a talent. Yeah. So you are gifted with what? With organization. You can organize things. You can put things together. You can arrange things. You can. Every Sunday we should have this church decorated. Why not? Why should we decorate a church when there's only a special location? You must have people who are very, concerned about decorating and making the church look beautiful every Sunday morning. I'm sure there are people here who can do that. Yeah. Except that you're waiting for a reverend to say, announcement. Is there anybody here who can help arrange this place? That's what you're waiting for. That's why I'm teaching that you don't need to wait for any announcement. Whatever talent or gift that God has given you, it must benefit the church. The church must enjoy from what you know to do well and to do best. And then when you are doing it, you are not doing it for any favor. Let me add that also. Because sometimes when people do things in the church, they feel that they are people who, if they are not there, the church. No. If you understand how come God gives you what he gives you. You see, it's your gift that makes you very important. And you see, and that's why if you are not smart, then you think that as your gift has made you important, you should be proud. No. If you have a gift or talent to share, it makes you more a servant than a boss. Because you minister in what you know to do well. You're a servant of the church. What can you do well? If you have something special or something gifted, please write your name. You can text me, you can message me. Something. Let's see how we can help and guide you to make your gifts available. Why not? Why not? Is that something you like doing? I like doing stuff, but we don't do that in the church. Who told you? You bring yourself. You see how it will be used. Are you with me? Yeah. Talents, yeah. Especially those of you. I'm more particular about those of you who can organize people behind you. You used to organize people behind you to go and do bad things. Now you say you're a Christian, you don't organize anymore. Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2. Verse 5, somewhere there. Nehemiah was burdened with building the walls of Jerusalem. So he was the king's butler. He used to serve the king wine. And so the burden was on him when he went one day to serve the king with his wine. And the king realized that his face wasn't the usual face. So he asked him what was going on. And then he told him what was the problem, what has happened in Israel. And then he asked permission if the king will, you know, be kind to him, give him some vacation, some leave, let him go back to Israel, try and help build the walls of Israel and, you know, maybe return. So the Bible says in verse 5 that, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou would send me unto thee of my father's chest, I may build it, that I may it. And the king said unto the queen, also said to him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when will thou return? It to send me. And I set him a time. And he goes on to say, moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let the letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And let's see what the king did. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest. The king had the forest. It wasn't given to Baishanling, you know. He had the forest. That he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of God. That is now the king has sent captains of whatever. You know, what you realize in this story, Nehemiah decided to go back and help build the wall. The king, who was enjoying the of Nehemiah, did not please him. He contributed because he realized that king, he had to give. At least he had some wood to Nehemiah in doing what he has to. Even somebody, this is not even a church member, this is somebody even in a church. It's a king, when he realized that somebody around him needs something, how much more a church member who's a child of God? Why would you not use your gifts? In chapter 2, when people sold their possessions, because some people had properties, some people had money. You get it? Some people had things, like Omar Sharif. He has a lot of properties. You sell it. And they, too much. And he says he has not done anything wrong. And then you give it. Because somebody may have something more than somebody. Somebody may have something in a greater amount than somebody. So that the church of God is not depleted, or the church of God will not be in want. Some who have more can give, some who don't have. And that is what many people don't understand. That they think that the church, rather, we should, the pastors, we should take the money and divide it among ourselves. And the people sold their possessions and goods. It's very difficult these days to see a Christian selling their possessions and their goods. We like to get. You have more possessions. So to sell something that you own, and the Bible says, and parted them to all men as every man had need. It means God blessed some people with gifts, with more talents, with more possessions. And the possessions were not just for them alone. When they came together as a church and they realized that some people needed some things, there are many of you, you have clothes in the house that you are not wearing. Yeah. You have shoes you are not wearing. I see there are also some proud Christians who don't like things that have been used. So people keep their things in their homes. Because when they bring you, look at this and say, what? They call it what? Prags. Prags? Second hand. What is first hand? Everything is second hand. Tell me what is first hand in this world and let's argue. Ah, everything is second hand. Everything, isn't it? Yeah. Tell me what is first hand. Sometimes the things that are used are the best things. It's because there are some people, they don't buy cheap things. Yeah, I know some. The things they buy are very durable and of high quality. So if they are not using it anymore because they have, you know, the blessings of the Lord has made them fat and rich. So they can't fit in that and they give it to you. It is not something that, it's not from Bend Down Boutique or it's no. Yeah. It's just because that the oil that makes them fat and rich, if it wasn't that oil, they would have still been wearing that thing. Yeah. It's pride. I think we should do it. We should have this collection of clothes and shoes. And have maybe once every 2 months or something. Let's do blow out something. Let's display things here, and then let people come and see what they can get out of it. What do you think? Yard sale, not even sale. Yard pick, yard tech. Huh? Not yard sale because we are not selling. Yard tech. Can we have something like that? Yard tech. What you like tech? As many as you can. You may never know. More than you can carry. Please write it down. We must do that thing. It's true. Because if you have siblings at home, sometimes you even wear the same clothes and same shoes, except panties. But you know, you wear some. Yeah. So if you have a Christian sister who has some things that are nice and decent, Anita, what's wrong about it? And it's a good idea, Brian. And nobody needs to know where it's even from. It's true. Even me, I have a lot of things that I always say I'm going to bring in. I never get time to bring them. I have so many things that. I'm sure some shirt or some T-shirt might work for you. At least if not for nothing, at least when you are home or when you are going to do some work, you can wear something to go and do some work. Something. Your shoes. Yeah. You don't understand what I'm trying to say? Miss Fabik. Yeah. So let's pull it off. Rafa, I'm sure you have some nice things from London that you're not wearing anymore. As God has blessed you. They are there. Hide them. Many women have bags. Carla, I'm sure you have bags. You are smiling at the back there. Yeah, I'm sure you have bags. Hey, bags. Yeah. How many ladies have bags? Masha. Hey, don't lie in a church, oh. Bags, shorty. Bags. Where's Andriska? You have barrels. Barrels. Container. The last rule of a church member, number 5, is to know your pastors, love and respect them, believe in them, and pray for them. To know your pastors, love and respect them, believe in them, and pray for them. You have a responsibility to your pastor. I say you have a responsibility to your pastor. Your responsibility to your pastor is not to talk his name or talk their names, but to know them, to love, to respect them, to believe in them, and pray for them. What do you think? No, you have to know your pastor if you will benefit and receive more from your pastor. It is because you know your pastor. You have to know me. You have to get to know me. You have to. It's true. It's a collector. You have to get to know your pastor. And I'm sure those who of you who have been around a little bit knows, in a way, how I stay. Anita, why you make your face so? If you've been around a little bit, yeah, I'm sure you know. You know, wah-wah-wah-wah, it's a wah-wah-wah-wah thing that, you know, your pastor is. But it's very important to know. It is in knowing your pastor that can even help you to love and respect him. If you don't know, then you are more persuaded by outside influence. What people who don't even come to the church say. Because people who don't come to the church seem to have a lot to say, even more than you who is in the church. Have you not realized that? That some people seem to know things in the church. You wonder, is this the same church you are talking about? And then if you are not very stable, you know, up here, they say, oh, really? Is that so? Oh, me know all them things, man. Huh? What's this? What kind of church is that? Then you get destabilized. No, but you must know your pastor. You must know your church. You must know that your church is not a perfect church. Just as their churches are also not perfect churches. You must know about that. Don't let somebody come in and tell you something to make it seem like it's new. That somebody else's church is better than the church. No. The church, you see, one of the common things you must understand is that the church is filled with human beings. Including you and me. And as long as you have human beings in the church will never be perfect. Any church on the surface of the earth is made up of human beings and all their things. All kinds of things. So who dare you to say something wrong about that church? Who dare you to say something wrong about that pastor? Because all pastors are also human beings also. Know your pastors. Love and respect them. You must love your pastor. You see, people get vexed when you love your pastor. They say, is he God? Is he God? Your pastor, is your pastor, does your pastor really look like God? I mean, what do you mean by God? That you worshiping your pastor like he's God? Do you know what it means by worship? When we say you are worshiping somebody, do you have an idea what it means? I must love. Respect them. Believe in your pastor. Oh, believe in your pastor, I tell you. Believe that your pastor is a God sent into your life. You must believe in that, I tell you. It's your role. It's your role. And you must pray for your pastor. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. Instead of talking your pastor's name, you should pray for your pastor. Instead of calling him that man. Don't call your pastor that man. You respect him. And call him by his name. Yeah. The Bible says, and we beseech you, brothers, to know them which labor among you, those who work among you, your pastors and your leaders who labor among you and are over you in the Lord. They are over you. They are the leaders. And admonish you. And to esteem them. We understand what esteem means, right? And to consider them very highly in love for the work they do seek. And be at peace among yourselves. Esteem those who work and labor among you. It is the Bible. I'm not saying something for myself. The Bible is the one that is saying that esteem Anita McLean. If you are to labor in the church more, the Bible, there's a responsibility of the church members to you to esteem you more and high. 2 Chronicles 20:20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. We're closing. Yeah. Know your pastors. Love and respect them. Don't let your relatives insult your pastor in your presence. You don't come here. You don't know him. You don't understand him. And you are talking bad things about him. Who do you think you are? Yeah, don't allow that. Yeah, believe in your pastors. The Bible says, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat is a nice guy. I was reading about him today in 1 Kings chapter 22. How the king of Israel called some prophets to come and prophesy concerning some war that he was going to. And then Plenty of them, they came and the prophet said, oh, go, the Lord will give you victory. And Jehoshaphat said, you know what? Is there no prophet of the Lord around? I mean, I was excited that he could sense that after all these many, many prophets who were prophesying good things, that there was something lacking about the prophecy. You know, and then he said, you know what? Is there no prophet of the Lord around here? And I said, there's one guy. Anytime he prophesies, it's always negative. And Jehoshaphat said, oh, let's get him to come. You may never know. So the people who went to call the prophet, he's called Micaiah, they said, brother, when you come, say something good. So when he came, then he said, oh, the Lord will give you victory. Then the king of Israel said, I beg you, don't lie to me. You have never said any good prophecy to me before. How come all of a sudden you are saying nice things to me? Then he changed the prophecy. He said, when you go, you will not come back. Then he told Jehoshaphat, you see, I told you, he never said something good about me. Jehoshaphat is a nice guy, nice king. You know, they went to war. In fact, he didn't come back for truth. He said, if you come back, then the Lord has not called me. So Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. And Ahab was the king of what? Is it Israel? And ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord God, so you shall be established. Establishment comes by believing in the Lord God. But it doesn't end there. He says what? Believe in his servants, his prophets, his pastors, his leaders, so shall ye prosper. Prosperity comes in believing in the people that God has given you. I tell you, if you make it your role to believe in the prophets and the teachers and the pastors God has given us, the Bible says that we will prosper. The lack of prosperity, yeah, is a good place to clap. In other words, doubting the prophets shall make you not prosper. When your pastor says something, why are you minding my business? Why are you controlling my life? Why are you telling me? I don't want to do anything you're telling me to do. You will not prosper. You will not do well. But you shall prosper because you believe in the prophets of God. Yeah, believe in his prophets. This is what the Bible says. So shall ye prosper. You see, I was in San Fernando, Trinidad. Last week, was it last week? Yeah, last week. And our pastor there, a young man, he's mates of Pastor Ned and the rest. They came here for a meeting. You know, all those Bible school guys came here for a meeting. I was asking him about marriage, you know, and I know a certain young lady in a church in Trinidad. I said, ah, so what about this lady? He said, oh, I don't have a problem. I like her. I said, oh, you like her? I like her for you too. So I sent a message to the girl. I said, what do you think about this pastor? He said, I like him. I said, good. So I told him that you like him, she like her, she likes you. So when you go, just start everything. When he went back, hey, come and see pictures, selfies, ossies, wissies, all kinds of things. So when I was there last week, I asked them, so how are things going? Hey, you see the excitement. Hey. Love is nice, though. People like love. Oh. Two pastors. Hey, they are everywhere. Two young guys. So I asked them, when are they getting married? He said, next year, December or so. I said, hey. So I asked the pastor, how can you walk with such a beautiful thing and not suffer? Suffer. How can you look at such a lady and then let her go to her house and say just, bye-bye, God bless you, bye-bye. It's difficult. I said, you are suffering. You are suffering. You will suffer. Why don't you marry in December? He said, December is too soon. I said, but what are you waiting for? You like she? She like you? Married and done.
So we spoke about the whole issue for a while.
When I was saying bye-bye to them, I was coming. And they came and they told me, they said, you know what? What you said is a real thing. We are getting married in December. I said, yeah. No. You see, you can decide to do what you want to do. But you realize that even by the time next year, December comes, issues and things would have come that you know what? If things can spoil. But if you are to believe in the directions that God gives to us through his pastors and the prophets, you realize that you will be able to do certain things. Or you realize that you are prospered all of a sudden. I tell you, all you realize, hey, how did I get to this point? You got to this point because you did not do things your own way. You listened to advice. You listened to counsel. In fact, even the same 1 Kings 22 I was reading today, it was very interesting. When the Bible says that it was God who allowed a lying spirit to come upon the prophets who advised the king of Israel to go to war. Yeah, the Lord allowed a lying spirit to enter the prophets, and they prophesied that you go, you conquer the enemy. Yeah. Because it was something that the king of Israel decided to do. And then it was Jehoshaphat, who is very godly, who said, let's inquire. Before, you know, you can't just eat without praying. Whenever you get food, you must pray. So Jehoshaphat, you know what? Good, you want to go and fight these people. I'll go with you. But let's find out if God will really give us victory. So then I learned that the ideas that we get, you really have to pass them through fire, you know. I don't know if you go what I'm trying to say. The things that occur to you, the plans that you desire, the plans that you devise, the plans that comes in your mind and things you want to do. Hey, if I were you, I would check it through some filter. I would pass it through some acid test and see whether it could stand. For all you know, a lying spirit is encouraging you to do something with your life that God does not want you to do. That's my quiet time, my lesson from 1 Kings 22 this morning. I said, you know what? Marry this year. Why not? December. All you need is a ring. People have food in their houses. Don't worry about food. We are not feeding orphans in the church. Don't we have food to eat? All we want to do is to see two people join together happy. That's what we want. Ask for food, take your food. Ask for cake, take your cake. You can make some small cake, you and your husband. This cupcake, you can make a cupcake. Wedding cupcake. You cut it right in the paper. And then the two of you take half while your wife, you eat it, you finish it. We don't need no cake. If that is what is going to make you say, next year, I got to get money, I got to plan. If that is what is going to make you do that, please bring a cupcake. And I'm sure we have some black suit around. We can lend you some black suit. Basman, can you not lend somebody black suit? We have usher's tie. We can give you one of the usher's tie to put on. You have a nice wedding. Yeah, I'm sure there's so many ladies here who will give you their white dress they wear for communion. They can give it to you. You can buy some mesh or something so that you cover your head with some mesh. Mosquito mesh. Netting, mosquito netting. You can put some mosquito netting over your head. Yeah, why is such a big deal, man? Yeah. Believe in his prophets. You see that when we say prosper, it means your situation improves. You move forward. So you who was single and people didn't respect, now you have a human being next to you. Yeah. And you see, when people see young people with wives, it's a very impressive thing. Oh, when you are young and you are married, it's very serious and impressive. People respect you. Rather, when you are young and you're a playboy or a playgirl, you act in playboy movies. But it all comes through advice. Because if it was left with you, you have plans. Yeah. Many people have had children that they didn't plan. It's common. Because if you had planned it, I'm talking about marriage. I'm not talking about the one you just went on. I'm talking about the marital children. Sometimes when you marry, then you say, you know what? We didn't get money now. Let's wait for 2 years. Before I realize somebody's pregnant. And I say, how come you get pregnant? But we said 2 years. I said, bye. As you are shooting and you are shooting, what were you thinking? You were shooting to kill. Now you have killed. You are wondering why people are dying. Hebrews 13 and verse 18, finally. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 18. Know your pastors. Love and respect them. Believe in them. And pray for them. Pray for us. You must learn to pray for your pastor. Because if your pastor doesn't do things right, it's because you didn't pray for him. Because he's a human being like you. We like to. You see, when pastors make mistakes, we like to talk about it, isn't it? Oh, the pastor? Oh, Lord. How could he do that? But it's because you don't pray for the pastor. Pray for us. Pray for us. You must put, don't be a Christian who only prays for him or herself about him or her problems. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your pastor. Some of you, you like praying. It's easy for you to wake up in the night and pray. Some people don't pray at all. It's maybe a gift or a talent God has given you to pray. Pray for your pastors. Amen. Yeah. There are some people, they sleep through. I mean, they wake up in the morning and say, hey, it rained? Of course it rained. Where were you? You were in Wonderland. It's a gift. Some people have the talent of sleeping. Yeah. We have one in a church. He can stand and sleep. Have you seen someone standing and sleeping and not falling before? He can stand and sleep. Yeah, it's like cutting stones. He can stand and sleep and dribble all in one. Hey, it's a gift. Pray for us. For we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. You see what the pastor is saying? The pastor is saying, you know what? We believe that we don't have any bad mind in this work we are doing, and we are willing to live an honest life. But you may never know. You may never know. So pray for us. As much as is left with us, we are willing to, we trust we have a good mind. We are here preaching not because of any gain, but because we have a good conscience to preach and to teach and to be ministers of God and be willing to live honest lives. But somebody could make us, you know, get vexed and we could just cough them and then we'll get into trouble. So please pray for us. Pray for us. That we don't get any attacks against a good conscience. Because it's very good and it's the right thing to do this work that we are doing with a good conscience. Many do it for all kinds of things. But when you stand before the pulpit like this, you must have a good conscience. Your mind must be clean. Why are you preaching what you are preaching? Why are you doing what you are doing? It must be a clean conscience. You must also be willing as a pastor to live an honest life. But pray for us.
We need it. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet, please. The time is up. My time is up. That's the end of 5 rows of a church member. It's on podcast. Make sure you get all the series. I believe God is going to help you. Blessed be your name, O God. To to be pleasing you, pleasing you, and that is all I really want to do, and to be pleasing you, pleasing you, and that is all I really want to do. Father, tonight, we thank you for speaking to us, teaching us what is expected of us, even in the house of God. Now that we know, we will, oh God, do our very best to do what is expected of us. But above all, we ask for your help. We ask for strength, that we will not lack, we will not fall short in any of these five things you expect of us here at the Lighthouse Chapel International. Thank you, Father, for tonight. In Jesus' name. You're here tonight, you're not saved. You're not born again. You want to go to heaven when you die. This is a prayer you must pray. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life, and I am born again now. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Collins, please call us on 592-231-0077 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.